Welcome to the Voice of America in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播。现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
听众朋友好，今天是2016年9月8号星期四，现在是北京时间下午5点，下面为您播报新闻。美国共和党总统候选人川普星期三称赞俄罗斯总统普京，说他比美国总统奥巴马表现得更像一名领袖。在美国全国广播公司新闻的一个论坛上，川普和民主党总统候选人希拉里·克林顿分别接受了采访。川普认为，如果他当选总统，会与普京有一个非常好的关系。他进一步批评了在奥巴马政府的领导下，美国在伊拉克采取的军事行动。他说，军事将领们没有取得成功。川普重申了他提出的美国应该从伊拉克获取石油的主张。作为一个主要政党的总统候选人，川普听取了机密情报的简报，这是为了确保在奥巴马明年1月卸任时，下一任总统能够了解各项议题。川普说，奥巴马、克林顿以及现任的国务卿克里所做的与情报专家的建议背道而驰。克林顿在参议院时曾经投票支持伊拉克战争。他说，这个决定是一个错误的，但是从错误中学习非常重要。他还对川普在竞选期间一再声言反对2003年入侵伊拉克的决定进行了反击。美国指责俄罗斯一架喷气战斗机星期三在黑海上空危险地逼近一架美国侦察机。一名美国军官说，这种行为不安全不专业。而莫斯科方面称，俄方飞机的行动符合国际飞行规定。美国国防部说，美国海军飞机和船只经常在这个区域与俄罗斯飞机和船只相遇，在大多数的情况下，这种相遇都是安全和专业的。但是我们对像这次相遇的不安全行动感到担忧，这些行动具有导致不必要紧张的可能性，可能会引起误判或者是事故。俄罗斯国防部表示，俄罗斯方面是在美国飞机接近俄罗斯边界并且关闭了应答器之后才下令战机升空的，目的是确认来机的身份。在老挝的东南亚峰会领袖对南中国海的紧张局势保持温和的看法，没有具体指明中国在这片有争议海域的行动。星期四，由10国组成的东南亚国家联盟的领袖发表一份声明草案，草案说，该组织重申了维护南中国海的和平、稳定、安全和自由通航的重要性。草案说，有几位领袖依然对南中国海最近的局势发展表示严重的关注。我们强调了有关各方根据得到普遍承认的国际法原则，以和平的手段解决他们争端的重要性。奥巴马总统星期四说，确保争端得到和平解决的努力将持续下去。这是奥巴马第8次同东南亚国家联盟的领袖举行会晤，他到访这个地区超过历任的美国总统。他说，这反映出该地区的重要性日益加强。美国总统奥巴马9月7号晚间在老挝国家会议中心等待参加晚宴的时候，与菲律宾总统杜特尔特进行了短暂的非正式会面。白宫官员说，两人进行了2到3分钟的寒暄。此前，杜特尔特前来参加东盟峰会之前对奥巴马做出不公的评论，导致美方取消了两人原定在峰会期间举行的正式会谈。菲律宾星期三公布了一些照片，照片看起来是中国海军船只在南中国海有争议海域建造一个岛屿。这些照片显示中国船只增加了，菲律宾称这是中国在黄岩岛附近造人工岛的新证据。各位听众，以上是美国之音的一组国际新闻，由陆洋在美国首都华盛顿为您播报，感谢收听。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，在第一课中，我们重点学习了用客气的语言向人提出各种建议，请人选择。首先是电话访谈。
Hello, Mr. Epstein.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Today we'll listen to more of your conversation with Mr. Blake.
Okay.
Ms. Graham had concerns about doing business with Mr. Blake's company.
That's right. She was concerned about spare parts and after-sales service. We talked about those issues. Then when the food came, we stopped talking business for a while.
When did you start talking about business again?
At the end of the meal, after we had our coffee.
Okay, let's listen to your conversation just before you started talking about business again.
Okay.
Well, that was a pretty good meal.
It was delicious.
Would anyone like some more coffee, Shirley?
Not for me. No, thank you.
Yes, I'd like a little bit more, please.
Okay, there's the waiter. Waiter, could we get another cup of coffee over here, please? Thank you.
词句代换。接下来请大家听老师给我们示范做几个词句代换。
Would anyone like some more coffee?
Would anyone care for some more coffee?
Not for me. No, thank you.
None for me, thanks.
I'd like a little bit more, please.
I'll have some, please.
接下来我们继续同 Epstein 先生进行访谈。
You were the host at this lunch, weren't you?
Yes, that's right.I invited Mr. Blake to lunch, and I was the host. I made sure that everyone got what they wanted to eat and drink.
Who paid the check?
I did, on the company account, of course.
I see. Thanks again for being with us.
Again, it's been my pleasure.
Let's take a break.
文化点滴。
Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Engleton. Today's email question is about American business lunches. The question is, when I'm invited to a business lunch by an American, who pays for the meal?
Generally, the host pays for the meal.
Uh-huh. And how do you know who is the host?
The host is the person who organized the lunch and who invited the people.
Our second question today is, at a business lunch,How do I know what to order?
Usually, you can order whatever you like. A good host will make sure that everyone gets what they want to eat and drink.
Should I order the same thing that the host orders?
Only if you want to. Usually, each person makes an individual choice. As we said earlier, Americans like to have individual choices.
What about ordering a glass of beer or wine? Is it okay to order alcohol?
If you want to drink beer or wine with your meal, that's usually okay, especially if your host is also having beer or wine. However, a business lunch is for business. Moderation is important.
Moderation? You mean don't eat or drink too much?
Exactly. If you eat a big meal or drink a lot of alcohol, you might not be able to do business. It would make a very bad impression if you couldn't talk clearly.
Or if you fell asleep.
That's certainly true. Generally, look to the host for guidelines. And if you're not sure what to eat or drink, it's okay to say, what do you recommend?
Thanks, Gary. This has been very helpful.
商务对话。
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Would anyone like dessert?
None for me, thanks. I'm absolutely stuffed.
That fish was delicious.
Yes, the food was excellent, especially the chicken.
I'm glad to hear it. Rose, would you like some dessert?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so.
Are you sure? The chocolate cake looks delicious. It has a raspberry sauce.
Well, okay, you talked me into it.
Good. I'll have some, too. Sam, would you like something to drink?
Well, I have to do some work this afternoon, so I'll just have some coffee.
Rose?
Hot tea, please.
Okay, I'll call the waiter over.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today, I'll be talking about how to make and accept offers. In our business dialogue, Helen is hosting a meal for two of her clients, Sam and Rose. At the end of the main course, Helen asks if anyone wants dessert. In making this offer, she uses the polite form, "Would anyone like dessert?"
Would anyone like dessert?
None for me, thanks. I'm absolutely stuffed.
Sam refuses, saying, "None for me, thanks." Another way to refuse an offer is to say, "No, thank you." Shirley Graham uses this expression when Mr. Epstein offers her more coffee.
Would anyone like some more coffee, Shirley?
Not for me. No, thank you.
In the United States, when someone refuses something, it may not be offered again. So, if you want something, it is a good idea to accept an offer the first time. For example, Mr. Blake accepts Mr. Epstein's offer to have more coffee.
Yes, I'd like a little bit more, please.
What if someone refuses your offer, but you think they really want it?
That's a good question. Sometimes people refuse an offer, but they use weak language. They say, "I think not," or "maybe not." Then it is a good idea to offer again. For example, in the business dialogue, at first Rose does not accept Helen's offer to have dessert. But Rose doesn't sound very sure, so Helen offers again by asking, "Are you sure?" and talking about one of the desserts.
Rose, would you like some dessert?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so.
Are you sure? The chocolate cake looks delicious. It has a raspberry sauce.
Well, okay, you talked me into it.
Good. I'll have some, too.
So, Rose accepts Helen's second offer, and she decides to have dessert. Offers usually use the polite form would, as in, "Would anyone like some more coffee?" In less formal situations, there are other expressions you can use to make offers. For example, you can say, "More coffee, anyone?" Or, "How about some more coffee?" I hope today's tips were helpful.
下面我们来复习第二课。这一课重点学习用什么语言征求对方的允许，以及用什么语言答应对方的请求。首先是电话访谈。我们再一次采访国际机器人公司的 Blake 先生，并且听他同 Graham 女士的一段谈话录音。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Charles Blake. Hello, Mr. Blake.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Today, we'll listen to more of your conversation with Ms. Graham.
Yes.
We'll begin where Mr. Epstein asks if anyone wants more coffee.
Then we began talking business.
Right. Let's listen.
Would anyone like some more coffee, Shirley?
Not for me. No, thank you.
Yes, I'd like a little bit more, please.
Okay, there's the waiter. Waiter, could we get another cup of coffee over here, please? Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Graham, let me see if I understand you correctly on this. Now, your basic problem is that we at International Robotics cannot provide adequate maintenance or spare parts quickly enough.
Yes, that's right. That's my main concern.
Okay.
这一节我们继续采访 Blake 先生。
So she's still concerned about the problem of after-sales service.
Yes, that's right. Ms. Graham was concerned about how quickly we could provide maintenance and spare parts.
Earlier you suggested that your company could send additional spare parts to Ms. Graham.
Yes, but she didn't seem to like that idea very much. She was worried about the additional cost and the problem of storage.
I see. Thanks again for being with us.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a break. Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Angleton.
Welcome, everybody.
Today's email question is about smoking. The question is, I'd like to have a cigarette after dinner. I went to a business lunch in America recently, and nobody was smoking. Don't Americans smoke?
Actually, many American businessmen and women do smoke, but Americans smoke less than people in most other countries.
Really?
Yes, and in many American cities, it is illegal to smoke in restaurants.
Illegal?
Yes, San Francisco is a good example. It is illegal to smoke in restaurants in San Francisco.
And what about other public places and in companies? When is it okay to smoke?
It depends on the local laws and customs. Most big corporations have special places for smoking, and some companies don't allow it at all.
Really? So how do you know if it is okay to smoke?
Whenever you aren't sure, you should ask someone who lives or works there. Whatever you do, don't light a cigarette before you know the rules.
Good advice. Thanks, Gary.
My pleasure.
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Do you mind if I sit here?
No, not at all. Please do.
My name is Jennifer.
Hi, I'm Bill. Are you here for the computer conference?
Yes, I am. I'm a programmer.
Do you mind if I smoke?
No, I don't mind. But isn't this a non-smoking area?
Let's see. No, the non-smoking area is over there.
Good. I know they're pretty strict about smoking in this city.
Now let's listen to another conversation.
下面是第二段商务对话。
Hello, I'm Augusto.
I'm Mary.
Do you know how long this flight is?
I think that it's about 6 hours.
I hope that there's a movie.
There is.
Do you mind if I smoke?
Well, yes. Actually, I do mind. And I believe that smoking is illegal on all flights in America.
Really?
Yes, but let's check. There's the flight attendant. Excuse me.
Can I help you?
Yes. This gentleman has a question.
May I smoke on this flight?
Oh, no. Smoking is illegal on all domestic flights. We announced it before we took off.
Oh, sorry.
Do you mind if I sit here?
No, not at all. Please do.
Do you mind if I smoke?
No, I don't mind.
Do you mind if I smoke?
Well, yes. Actually, I do mind.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about asking for permission.
Asking for permission?
Yes. Sometimes you need to ask if it is okay to do something. You need to ask permission. One of the most polite ways to ask permission is to ask, "Do you mind?" In today's first business dialogue, Jennifer asks Bill if it is okay for her to sit down.
Do you mind if I sit here?
No, not at all. Please do.
Bill gives her permission to sit down using the negative expression, no, not at all.
Why does he use a negative expression? Why doesn't he say yes?
Well, do you mind means does it bother you? So your answer, no, not at all, means no, it doesn't bother me.
That can be a little confusing.
Yes, it can be confusing. So it is good to say something more to make your meaning clear. In this case, Bill says, please do. In other words, please sit here. Let's listen again.
Do you mind if I sit here?
No, not at all. Please do.
He gives her permission to sit there.
That's right. When Bill asks Jennifer if it is okay to smoke, he also uses the expression, do you mind?
Do you mind if I smoke?
No, I don't mind.
She says, no, I don't mind. Her negative answer means that it is okay for him to smoke. She doesn't mind. Now let's listen to the second business dialogue. Augusto is on an airplane. He asks the woman sitting next to him if it is okay to smoke.
Do you mind if I smoke?
Well, yes. Actually, I do mind.
She doesn't want him to smoke. In this case, yes means, yes, I do mind if you smoke. Yes, it will bother me. She makes her meaning very clear by saying, actually, I do mind. I hope today's tips were helpful.
下面我们复习本星期的第三课。这一课重点讲解在商务对话里用哪些语句来澄清一句话或一个问题。首先是电话访谈，我们再一次采访先锋技术公司高级副总裁 Graham 女士。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Shirley Graham. Hello, Ms. Graham.
Hello, Elizabeth.
During your lunch with Mr. Blake, you discussed the problem of spare parts.
That's right. Mr. Blake's company does not have warehouses in California. I wanted to know how they could get spare parts to us when we needed them.
Mr. Blake proposed that you store spare parts in your own warehouses.
Yes, that was his proposal, but I had questions about that approach to the problem.
Let's listen to your conversation with Mr. Blake.
Okay, Ms. Graham, let me see if I understand you correctly on this. Now, your basic problem is that we at International Robotics cannot provide adequate maintenance or spare parts quickly enough.
Yes, that's right. That's my main concern.
Okay. Now, you've rejected the proposal that we use your warehouse for storage space for spare parts.
Well, not entirely, Mr. Blake. Let me clarify that a little. Space is limited, and it would depend very much on the quantity of parts, the size, etc. I would need a lot more detail on that.
I can certainly understand your concerns.
Mr. Blake thought that you had rejected his proposal.
That's right. That's what he thought. I needed to make my position clearer.
So you hadn't rejected his proposal entirely?
No, I hadn't. Before I could make a decision, I needed more information.
I see. Thank you again for joining us on our program.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break. Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Angleton. Today's email question is, why do Americans state their opinions so strongly? In my country, people are less direct. The American style seems very aggressive to me.
That's a good question. Americans often think that stating their opinions very directly is a good business strategy.
Why is that?
Well, if you say what you mean as clearly as possible, there's a better chance that people will understand you. This is especially true if you are doing business with people whose first language is not English.
I see. But this direct style may seem aggressive to other people.
Yes, that can be a problem. Let me give you an example. Let's say you want to sell me some products, but I think that they are too expensive. I can use very polite language and say, "We will have to decide whether or not we have enough money for your products." This is very polite, but is also difficult to understand. Or I can say, "I think that your products are too expensive. This is a short sentence with simple grammar.
I see. The second sentence is more direct. It is easier to understand, but it may sound a bit aggressive.
Yes, for Americans, being direct is not being aggressive, it's telling the truth.
Interesting point. And now, to tell the truth, we're out of time. Thank you, Gary, for another interesting culture point.
My pleasure.
Let's listen to today's business dialogue. Faye Thomas is negotiating with Tom Johnson, an automobile salesman, to buy some cars for her company's sales fleet.
So that means that we could sell you the cars for only $23,000 each. That's incredibly cheap, about $5,000 cheaper than the usual price.
Well, Tom, I don't doubt that it's a good price, but the total amount is still too high.
So you've decided not to buy our cars?
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I mean is that the total amount is more than this year's budget.
But you're still interested in these cars?
Yes, definitely. Their quality is excellent and the price is reasonable. But we might have to buy fewer cars this year.
And buy the rest in next year's budget?
Exactly.
So you've decided not to buy our cars? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I mean is that the total amount is more than this year's budget. But you're still interested in these cars? Yes, definitely.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about clarifying. In business discussions, sometimes the other person may misunderstand what you say. It is necessary for you to correct this misunderstanding. You need to clarify your position. For example, in the business dialogue, Tom thinks that Faye has decided not to buy his cars.
Well, Tom, I don't doubt that it's a good price, but the total amount is still too high.
So you've decided not to buy our cars?
In fact, Faye is still interested in buying the cars. She needs to explain her position more clearly. She uses the expression, "What I mean is," to clarify her idea. Let's listen.
So you've decided not to buy our cars?
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I mean is that the total amount is more than this year's budget.
But you're still interested in these cars?
Yes, definitely.
In Ms. Graham's conversation with Mr. Blake, she also needs to clarify her position. Mr. Blake thinks that Ms. Graham has rejected his proposal.
Now, you've rejected the proposal that we use your warehouse for storage space for spare parts.
Well, not entirely, Mr. Blake. Let me clarify that a little. Space is limited, and it would depend very much on the quantity of parts, the size, etc.
Ms. Graham uses the expression, "Let me clarify that a little," and then she explains her position more clearly. Confirming and clarifying are skills which lead to successful negotiations. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听。我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
听众朋友，下面为您播报新闻。美国共和党总统候选人川普星期三称赞俄罗斯总统普京，说他比美国总统奥巴马表现得更像一名领袖。在美国全国广播公司新闻的一个论坛上，川普和民主党总统候选人希拉里·克林顿分开接受了采访。川普认为，如果他当选总统，会与普京有一个非常好的关系。他进一步批评了在奥巴马政府的领导下，美国在伊拉克采取的军事行动。他说，军事将领们没有取得成功。川普重申了他提出的美国应该从伊拉克获取石油的主张。作为一个主要政党的总统候选人，川普听取了机密情报简报，这是为了确保在奥巴马明年一月卸任的时候，下一任总统能够了解各项议题。川普说，奥巴马、克林顿以及现任的国务卿克里所做的与情报专家的建议背道而驰。克林顿在参议院的时候曾经投票支持伊拉克战争，不过他说这个决定是一个错误的，但是从错误中学习非常重要。他还对川普在竞选期间一再声言反对2003年攻打伊拉克的决定进行反击。美国指责俄罗斯一架喷气战斗机星期三在黑海上空危险地逼近一架美国侦察机。一名美国军官说，这种行为不安全、不专业，而莫斯科方面称，俄方飞机的行动符合国际飞行规定。美国表示，俄罗斯苏-27喷气战斗机飞到距离美国海军 P-8A 海神侦察机3米距离时，美国飞机是在国际空域进行常规操作，俄罗斯军机的拦截行动持续了19分钟。俄罗斯国防部表示，俄罗斯方面是在美国飞机接近俄罗斯边界并且关闭了应答器之后才下令战斗机升空的，目的是确认来机的身份。在老挝的东南亚峰会领袖对南中国海的紧张局势保持温和看法，没有具体指明中国在这片有争议海域的活动。星期四，由10个国家组成的东南亚国家联盟的领袖发表一份声明草案。草案说，该组织重申了维护南中国海的和平、稳定、安全和自由通航的重要性。今年7月，一个仲裁法庭驳回了中国对南中国海的主权声索，说他对这片广大海域没有历史权利。中国拒绝接受这个判决，因为他与中国提出的他几乎拥有整个南中国海主权的主张背道而驰。奥巴马总统星期四说，确保争端得到和平解决的努力将继续下去。美国总统奥巴马9月7号晚间在老挝国家会议中心等待参加晚宴的时候，与菲律宾总统杜特尔特进行了短暂的非正式会面。白宫官员说，两个人进行了两三分钟的寒暄。此前，杜特尔特前来参加东盟峰会之前呢，对奥巴马做出的不公的评论导致美方取消了两人约定在峰会期间举行的正式会谈。不过在持续了1小时20分钟的晚宴期间，奥巴马和杜特尔特没有任何的互动，他们所坐的位置也靠得不近。早些时候，菲律宾方面说，两人在宴会期间会坐在一起。菲律宾外长亚塞对于杜特尔特有机会和奥巴马进行寒暄感到高兴。他说，这源自于两国有着稳固和强有力的关系的事实。菲律宾星期三公布了一些照片，照片看起来是中国海军船只在南中国海有争议海域建造一个岛屿。这些照片显示中国船只增加了。菲律宾称这是中国在黄岩岛附近造人工岛的新证据。这些照片的公布时间刚好在东盟十国峰会在老挝万象开幕之际。白宫一名资深官员对美国之音说，美国认为最近几个月，中国海军在黄岩岛附近的活动基本没有什么变化，但是美国会继续监视这一区域，并与菲律宾政府保持接触。各位听众，以上是美国之音的一组新闻简讯，由陆阳在美国首都华盛顿为您播报，感谢收听。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目。因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
各位听众观众朋友大家好，欢迎收听收看美国之音 VOA 卫视9月7号星期三现场直播的时事大家谈节目，我是宝申。为期两天的20国集团杭州会议已经落下帷幕，这是该集团第11次峰会，也是中国首次举办这一峰会。本次会议仍然一如既往的主打经济，不过分析称虽然与会国经济规模占世界 GDP 总额的 80%， 人口占全世界总人口的2%，但是由于不存在迫在眉睫的危机来推动各国领导人采纳高难度的措施，比如贸易自由化，峰会没有太多实质性的内容。那么本次 G20 峰会将对中国和世界经济进程、世界经济发展方向产生哪些影响？参加节目讨论的有两位嘉宾，分别是从美国新泽西州通过 Skype 参加讨论的经济学家、时政评论人士何青莲女士，欢迎青莲参加节目。还有通过 Skype 在美国加州参加讨论的美国经济学教授、前留美经济学会会长张欣先生，抱歉这么早就把你吵醒，欢迎两位。同时也欢迎大家拨打美国之音免费热线电话参加节目讨论，号码是400-120-0551 400-120-0551。您还可以通过 VOA 卫视在 YouTube 的网上直播收看并加入我们的现场讨论，网址是 youtube.com/VOAChina。然请问在新泽西州的何青莲女士，中国表示呢，这次峰会是主打经济，也就是要为世界经济出谋划策、开药方。我们知道这次峰会发表了杭州公报，洋洋洒洒地列举了48条这个协议。中国政府说呢，这是各国领导人达成的杭州共识。你认为这一次会议就世界经济话题达成了哪些主要的议题、主要的协议？
啊，这次会议吧有一个特点啊，它的召开的背景呢，就是各国呢，尤其是欧盟、美国啊，民众呢反对全球化的浪潮呢日益高涨的时候，那么就是为了应对这个危机啊，这个会议呢主题就是讨论这个那么就是全球化呢，就是牵涉到几个问题，一个就是贸易保护主义。贸易保护主义分两方面，一方面呢是贸易，一方面呢是投资。那么所有的国家来的时候呢，基本上呢就是都带着对中国的意见而来啊。那么中国呢要做的就是避免成为众矢之的，就不想让大家针对这些问题啊，针对中国啊，这是一个。第二个就是环境问题。那么在归纳起来呢，这一次会议呢签了三个协议，三个协议呢就是有关这方面的。那么从他的宣布的原则来说呢，与其说是应对这个全球化危机而产生的一些协议，还不如说是他们继续坚持以前那些措施。但是这些措施呢，看来呢，更像是一个理论付务虚会议的产品，而不是一个大家今后能够实行的东西。为什么呢？因为这个无论是贸易还有投资，都是牵涉到各国家的多边关系。至于那个环保协议呢，因为京都协议书要到期，那么中国和美国如果不加入这个巴黎气候变化协定的话，就等于全世界两个碳排放量最大的国家呢没有加入，就没有意义。所以这一次奥巴马呢就促使中国加入了，但是那个协议本身呢，讲一下内容的话大家就知道了，实际上除了美国可能能做到，中国方面呢没有什么改变。因为要点就是奥巴马承诺了，就是美国的碳排放量呢将比这个2005年减少26%-28%，就是到2025年。那么习近平承诺的就是到2030年以前，中国不再增加碳排放量，就是说中国继续保持原状。那么美国呢，还逐步改善， 应该说是姿态高于质疑啊。那么就是至于对这个全球经济是否有实质性的影响，我个人觉得不会有，因为关于这个贸易保护主义吧，各说各的话。全球呢这一次拿着这个中国向外低价倾销钢材，来说事，那么中国呢就强调是因为中国的这个劳动力成本低廉，还有生产效益好，不存在政府补贴问题。那么这个最核心的问题这一次就没谈拢。至于投资问题，那好，先说到这里啊。
好的，等一会儿我们再继续谈一下投资的问题。张新教授，你认为这次 G20 峰会是不是取得了一些比较实实在在的这种共识或者协议，对今后世界和中国经济发展的这个整个趋势会不会产生比较实实在在的影响呢？
这次会议呢，从公报来看，它还是取得了一些原则上的一些协定，而且呢它有些内容也是比较新的，当然它在实际步骤上我们没有看到它能够落实什么东西，但是呢指出了一个方向。从原来的计划上来说呢，这次会议的主要议题呢是经济合作，那么还有反恐啊、难民啊等等，那么这里面呢这个主题呢包括打击逃税天堂，反对保护主义和促进国际贸易和投资，青年已经讲了。还有一个比较有意思的呢，就是说财政刺激和创新来促进经济的增长，而且呢他要把原来的货币扩张政策要减弱。另外呢他谈到就像我们前面也讲到的，就是难民啊、那个反恐啊，另外呢和这个联系在一起的就是要反对那个反，就是抗击现在反对国际化的民粹主义，这个在美国、在英国还有在欧洲其他国家都有增长的趋势。那么特别是在美国，现在是进入大选，那川普呢他就代表了一个反对国际化的一个民粹主义。那么怎么样而且呢他现在在民调当中呢也不断的在上升，怎样对待那个问题，这里面还有很多的不确定性。 G20 公报有些东西是比较新的，比如说那个前几年各个国家为了解决自己的经济问题用了货币扩张政策，美国叫 QE 啊，中国也是印了很多的货币，其他国家也如此。因为相对财政政策来讲的货币政策它比较容易在国会啊等等方面啊或者民众当中通过，它的阻力比较小，这是因为实际上它也是一种税收，但是它是一种隐形的税收，扩张了货币之后啊，大家手里持有的货币呢实际上购买力就低了，而且实际上这就是一个税收，但是不是让人直接感到，不像直接税收那么困难，所以呢大家都用货币扩张的政策呢想去刺激经济或者解决呢他们财政赤字的问题。那么现在呢看来这个里面有很多的弊病在里面，所以大家希望呢能够全世界大国一起起来用更积极的财政政策呢来刺激经济。我想我暂时大概时间到了吧，我等会再谈，好吧？好。
何庆莲女士，我们现在转向美中经济这方面的一些共识或者协议。我们知道奥巴马和习近平会谈之后呢，中国方面公布了一项双方领导人达成的协议的这么一个文本，其中谈到了双方达成的协议有35大项之多，还有若干的小项。你认为在这些协议当中比较引人注目的或者说比较有新意的有哪些呢？
其实总的来说根据这个历年来中美经济合作协议吧，我并不觉得有太多的新意。目前中美的关系吧其实坎子就是两个， 政治上就是个南海，那么势必这些影响到经济上，经济上呢就是这个中国对美国的钢材销售还有投资。现在大家也知道中国已经成为世界第二投资大国，那么就是对外投资的那个存量吧已经超过10000亿美元，那么美国呢已经成为中国越来投资越来越多的一个地方。这就存在一个什么问题呢，就是如果美国要是像中国一样不像这个中资开放绿灯，而是像中国一样采取各种那个准入门槛限制，那么这个中国在美国的投资呢就不可能呢很顺畅。而且美国现在对中国人呢集中投资在这个房地产领域也是颇有微词，因为直接导致了旧金山、洛杉矶还有亚特兰大各地的房产的上涨，那么这也是全球的资产高估泡沫化的一个重要表现。所以这一点呢是今后呢可能会遇到一些很具体的障碍。那么就是至于其他的呢，就是关于贸易方面我认为呢美国对中国最大的意见就是中国不守规矩，过去在这个WTO 上面是国际各种各样的那个贸易仲裁的座上客，而且几乎是和各国的贸易纠纷中国都有份，所以呢美国呢希望这个中国呢守规矩。但是呢这是奥巴马呢上任8年以来从第二个任期一直在谈的一个问题。中国方面呢每一次承诺要改，但是呢实际上是做不到的。而且这一次呢我觉得签订的这个协议吧，因为面临美国大选，所以呢中国方面呢签了并没有认真打算实行，因为第二任总下任总统来是谁将采取什么样的还得到时具体谈判。所以我觉得这项协议呢与其说是中国需要这份协议，还不如说是奥巴马希望为自己的政治遗产呢多留下一些内容吧，就这样。
詹欣教授，刚才何青莲女士已经稍微的谈到了一些美中两国呢同时批准了巴黎气候变化协定，那么我们知道这两个国家的碳排放量占世界总量的40%，其中中国占25%，美国占15%。何青莲女士刚才谈到习近平实际上同意的是到2030年以前中国不再增加碳排放量，那么美国将逐步的减少。在你看来即使这样，对中国的经济发展，对于中国今后这种行业的转型、产业的转型，对中国的环境保护，是不是也会起到一定的积极作用呢？
那当然了，现在中国的雾霾和空气污染，这个中国人民是深受其苦。其实呢，即使没有这个协定，也为了这个减轻中国的空气污染，中国也必须这么做。那么现在呢，和中国正好是宏观经济上，由于呢对钢铁啊这个煤炭的需求的减少，所以呢在宏观经济上呢也正好需要把这些污染的产业呢把它减能减下来。那么这个两个国家呢，就中国和美国呢，达成在大气污染和碳排放量中降低的一个协定。中国实际上也是等于降低了，因为中国在不断的增加这 GDP 产出的时候，它还要把碳放量呢，把它控制在这个限度以内。那么对全球的环境呢，有很大的好处，对中国自己本身呢也有好处，就是仅仅从对老百姓的福利，在健康方面的支出的减少来讲都有很大的好处。
何青莲女士，我注意到中方公布的中美谈判成果当中第三条就谈到，美方欢迎中方在经济改革特别是供给侧结构性改革方面做出的承诺以及做出的变化，中方的则重申要继续坚持和深化这方面的改革，要继续去产能、去库存、去杠杆、降成本和补短板。你认为这次 G20 峰会对于中国现在的经济转型会起到一个比较好的促进作用吗？或者说中国现在这种经济的转型 是不是仍然在面临着相当大的困难？
是这样，中国政府也确实想针对这个产能过剩这个局面呢动刀子，但是呢就是砍不下去，砍不下去呢就是有各种各样的原因。根据那个全国钢铁协会的调查，就是各地呢因为税收、就业还有种种原因，就是努力呢在这里利用银行贷款支持一些产能严重过剩的产值技术继续生产。好像中央政府对此呢也不是特别有办法。那么对于美国来说，现在中国呢这个一带一路计划要向全世界输出产能，尤其是这个钢铁倾销，根据这个欧盟和这个美国的说法是已经导致美国、欧盟包括日本啊等国原来就已经危机重重的钢铁业呢陷入破产，所以呢就开始征关税。美国是征的相当厉害，是把这个提高到500%，那么欧盟也是200%多，日本呢也提高了，好像是300%左右吧。那么就是让中国这个钢铁倾销呢无利可图，所以就暂时停止了。但是对于中国来说呢有一个实际的困难，中国过去几年一直是全国全世界矿产尤其是铁矿石和工业金属的最大消费者，有一段时期几乎有那么两年消费了全世界铁矿砂的生产量的2/3，这些东西堆在中国都形成了质量高低不一的那个钢材产品啊。那么这些东西如果不输出去，中国呢就等于堆在那里。中国所以要通过这个一带一路计划建高铁，拉动这个国内的就消耗国内的过剩产能。问题就是中国现在呢对外这个投资吧，尤其是这个一带一路修高铁的计划严重受阻，几乎无论是在这个美洲北美还有这个亚洲都遭到各种各样的原因然后搁浅，所以现在中国呢也是对此一筹莫展。现在全世界呢都希望中国呢能够继续的，就是尤其是资源国还能够继续像过去一样消费他们国家生产的资源。那么发达国家的西方中国容纳更多的资本，但是中国呢实际上过去是以房地产为龙头，以这个基础设施的主打，然后呢带动这个经济增长，消耗了全世界大多很多的这种矿产品啊。目前呢中国的房子全国就是按照户均3人已经是用每一个家庭拥有1.2套，农村里94%的人都有自己的房子，然后呢还过剩了98亿平方米。然后各地方的那个新城计划呢，根据一个工程院院士对媒体透露的，目前呢这个新城的规划加起来可以供34亿人居住，也就是说全球70亿人的一半要到中国去这个购房，中国都可以供上。那么这是一个不可能实现的计划，所以呢全球经济呢应该说过去20多年是找到了一个中国这样有庞大市场需求的国度，承接了这个资本投资，然后呢也承接了全世界生产的各种矿产品。那么中国现在呢过去因此在2009年经济危机的时候被大家看作是拯救世界的诺亚方舟，然后到了这个2012年大家呢认为中国呢是这个全世界经济发展的引擎。现在中国经济不行了，那么各国呢怨言那个分歧，有人就提出中国已经成了世界经济发展的绊脚石，但是实际上他们这个抱怨呢我这里说句公道话有点不切现实，因为没有一个国家能够长期保持这种对世界这个原料资源无穷无尽的那个需求，也没有一个国家能够无穷无尽的承接全世界资产泡沫化那个庞大的资产。所以呢到了确实世界经济到了转折点，各国都应该考虑今后的那个那么就从这个今后的实际需要和这一次这个什么呢G20这3个协议来看呢， 我并不觉得各国领导人充分意识到了这些国家今后面临的问题。
是，好，各位听众观众，您现在收听收看的是美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈。我们今天上午讨论的第一个话题是 G20 杭州峰会能不能改变中国经济和世界经济发展的格局和方向。欢迎您打电话来参加我们节目的讨论。我们的免费热线电话是400-120-0551，400-120-0551。詹新教授，这次峰会呢，我看到突出强调的一点就是创新，各国在经济上有要创新。中国政府也一直在强调这一点，有人士认为这次之所以选址在杭州，就是为了显示那里科技创新、经济创新的这么样一种活力。在您看来，中国现在在经济创新方面呢，它今后的发展方向是什么？有很多批评人士认为中国的创新，其中包括杭州的这种科技创新、经济创新，大部分是靠政府的优惠的政策，在税收、房地产等等方面提供各种各样的好处。从长远来看，这种好处、这样的发展趋势是难以持续下去的。你认为中国经济创新的最主要的出路是什么？
中国经济创新最好的出路，那就是在供给侧结构性当中要做一个大的变化，而这个改革大的变化实际上归纳这个三点，这是中国政府没有直接说出来，但是作为经济学界呢，这个大家都是心知肚明的，就是供应侧的或者创新，它能够把生产力提高，但怎么样来创新的？现在中国是山寨大国，但怎么样来？第一，你就是知识产权的保护。知识产权的保护又牵涉到哪几个方面呢？那牵涉到法治，啊，牵涉到那个私有产权，牵涉到个人自由。在现今的那个数字化时代，这次公报当中也提到了，怎么样在数字化的那个创新当中呢，要有发展。那你就是要把互联网当中的长城墙呢，就要把它去掉。你如果信息度不能够畅通的话，你怎么可能创新呢？所以如果要做创新的话，现在这几年没有创新，只有山寨呢更多，连现在山寨都下不下去了。还有呢，比如说互联网加啊，或者是电商啊，什么都不行。这就是因为这几年来呢，在那个互联网啊控制啊，在那个知识产权的保护啊，在个人自由当中呢做了更大的限制。所以创新这个呢，是口号是提得非常好，但是做起来的话呢，就牵涉到一个体制的根本。
嗯，何千林女士，您刚才谈到了一下中美双方投资的问题，有一位网友提出问题叫 Ed Chow， 他提出问题，中国国内媒体放话 G20 期间中美投资协定接近达成，然而中国对引进外国投资的限制并没有实质性的改变，请问是不是表面奥巴马政府急于求成才对中国开绿灯？请您来回应一下。
有这个因素，因为奥巴马这任总统吧，和其他的前任呢有点不一样。我们都知道啊，美国总统呢在最后进入跛脚鸭政府时代啊，都要干出一些出人意表的事情。嗯，但是奥巴马干的特别多，就是每天在白宫啊前十我想，就是怎么样在哪些方面有所突破，怎么样利用这个总统令，还有总统的权限，做成一些他想做。过去没有做，现在一定要做。至于签了这个协议了，能不能够得到执行，好像奥巴马不太考虑。那么比这个签中美贸易协定还有投资协定的事情，奥巴马做的比这个翻谈多了的事，奥巴马做了不少。所以呢，这应该算是正常范围内。至于能不能达到呢，就看下一任总统了，就是。
嗯，好，时间的关系，有关 G20 如何影响中国和世界的经济的讨论就进行到这里。非常感谢何庆莲女士和张欣先生参加节目的讨论。时事大家谈是一个自由的论坛，嘉宾和听众观众发表的都是个人观点，不代表美国之音。以上就是今天 VOA 卫视时事大家谈的全部内容，感谢您的收听收看，我是宝申，祝大家晚安，下次节目再会。